and we give thanks to God that he is indeed our good, good Father. So we are continuing through our series of teachings from Jesus as he sat on the mountainside, as he opened his mouth and truth. Thank you very much. Truth and life poured out. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad that we have these words of life, these words of instruction that we have been journeying through for some time now? So let's get straight into it this morning. If you've got your Bibles with you, which I hope you do, why don't you turn with me now to the book of Matthew once again. We're going to return to chapter 6. I'm going to finish off chapter 6 this morning. So far in this particular chapter, remember though we started off with the Beatitudes, but so far in this particular chapter, we heard of Jesus' teachings on prayer, on fasting, on rewards in heaven. And now this morning, church, we're going to turn our attentions to the subject of worry. Yes, we're going to look at worry today. I'm going to start at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not what much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Wise words from Jesus, and may God bless the reading of his word. So worry then. With a show of hands then, who has ever experienced worry in their life? I thought that might be the case. Anyone experienced worry this week? Thank you for your honesty. I thought that might have been the response. You see, at some point in our lives, we will all have experienced worry. Whether it's worry over ourselves or over someone else, perhaps over a child. Whether it's worry over a job situation, whether a house sale will go through, whether you will have passed an exam or not, worry over your finances, worry over your health, worry over your future, worry over the trials and tribulations of the world today, to name a few. And there are plenty of things going on in our world today that may cause us to worry, such as climate change, global pandemics, political instability, war, terrorism. But we will see today in the teachings from our Lord Jesus Christ that he is encouraging us not to worry. I heard one writer say that worry is the ugly cousin of fear. It's not perhaps as severe as fear and anxiety and panic, perhaps. However, it's still damaging. And if allowed to take hold, worry can very quickly escalate into fear and panic and worry. So perhaps you're here this morning and you're questioning right now, well, am I a worrier? Am I worried right now? Well, what are some of the symptoms of worry? Churning feelings in the tummy. Feelings of restlessness, nausea, headaches, anxious thoughts, just to name a few. I wonder if anyone here today is experiencing some of the symptoms of worry. Now, as I've said already, if not dealt with, it can very quickly develop into something more serious, like fear and anxiety, which has some nasty side effects. Insomnia, mood changes, fear of leaving the house, agoraphobia, depression. So you can see how important it is then, church, to take a mental check today, to see how you're doing on the worry scale. Between 1 to 10, I wonder how worried are you today? However, if we are to heed the teachings of Jesus in this passage, he is saying to us today, do not worry. You don't have to worry about anything. Now, I'm glad that it's Jesus' words speaking to you today and not me, because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that's all very well and good, Debbie, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the week I've had, the concerns and the stresses that I have, and you're right, I don't know. I don't know. I care for you, but I don't know. I know that there are many concerns, though, in our world today. Rising fuel costs and food costs, for one. You know, I went to the petrol station this week, and I looked around. It was quite a busy petrol station. It had lots of lanes. And everyone around me, because I'm a bit of a people watcher, looked really sad, looked really down. And I thought about this for a moment. I thought, I wonder if they're worried. I wonder if the people at the petrol station today are worried as they fill up their cars. I wonder if they're worried if they've got enough money to fill up their cars today. I wonder, are you worried? So I might not know exactly what it is that you're going through right now. However, I do know someone who understands your situation and cares for you and cares for what it is that you are worrying about. He loves you. God loves you. And Jesus is saying today very simply in this teaching, do not worry. His main point in this passage is that worry is unproductive. It doesn't achieve anything. It clutters up our minds. It weighs heavy on our hearts, and it achieves no good thing. That's the truth about worry. Have you noticed in your own life that no problem has ever been resolved because you worried about it? As we've heard already, worry only leads to further pain. And fear is an all-consuming raw emotion. It stops you in your tracks. It clouds your thoughts. It takes your breath away, not in a good way. It holds you captive. And it comes with some nasty physical symptoms also. But the good news, church, is that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, but we have the Holy Spirit. And God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. And we can claim that sound mind today in Jesus' name. You'll have heard it said and preached many, many times that fear is in actual fact the opposite of faith. What you fear the most is actually where you're trusting God the least. And worry is the opposite to trust. So ask yourself, what is it you're not trusting God with today? Maybe it's many things, or maybe it's just one thing. Perhaps you're good at trusting God with some things. Maybe you're good at trusting God with your ministry, perhaps, because that's a church thing. Maybe you're good at trusting God with your job situation. Or maybe there's other parts of your life that you're holding on to control. Perhaps it's your children, your children's future, or it's your health. Perhaps then you start to doubt. You start to doubt in an attempt to remain in control. You know, I've had to learn this lesson the hard way over the years. I've shared this before about trusting God with my life. I prayed those bold prayers. God, you can have all of me. You can have every part of me, God. Do your will. Have your way. But when it came to my babies, who are not so much babies anymore, I was holding on to control. You see, I carried them. I gave birth to them. I nursed them. Therefore, I have to look after them, God. So I found it hard over the years to release the control. I was holding on to control of my children's lives. Only I realized that I am completely out of control. You see, they are God's handiwork. He is their creator. So their lives are actually safer in his hands than they are in my worries. You see, quite often we worry about the things that are quite often out with our control. And that's why you get scared. I can't be with my children 24/7. You can't either. I can't make the decisions for them in their life, especially the older ones. I can't make those choices for them anymore. They're adults now. I can't sit their exams for them. They're saying, boy, are we glad about that, because we're much smarter than you, Mum. But you get the picture. There's so much that I am not in control of, and it frightens me. And I know that's where you're at today. It frightens you. You can't control that situation. You don't have all the answers. You don't have a magic wand. You can't hurry along that doctor's appointment. You can't perform that surgery on yourself. It is simply out with your control. And church, that's when worry sets in. That's when worry sets in, when we realize that that thing that is so important, that's so precious to us, is out of our hands. But what if I were to tell you today that it's okay? It's actually okay not to be in control. In fact, it's actually liberating. That an actual fact that you can feel secure and safe even when you feel like you're not in control. Let me demonstrate it for you. You are wondering why this board was here. Okay, I have got a higher art. It was many years ago, so bear with me. So if you've got a notepad and pen, you might want to do this along with me today. If not, don't worry about it. You can take a mental note and you can do it later on. So if you have a notepad and pen, I want you to draw a circle, just like that. And in the center of the circle, I want you to put your own name. That's you. Okay. Out with the circle, I want you to take a note. Now, you might want to do this privately, secretly, so you can put code if you like, in case the person beside you is looking over at your notes. You would never do that, would you? So out with the circle, I want you to write down all the things that you're worried about. These are the things that are out with your control. These are the things that might just be one thing, might be several things. These are the things that are keeping you awake at night. These are the things that are robbing you of your sound mind, that are causing you to be afraid, that you cannot control. But Jesus in this passage is saying, do not worry. Why? Why does he say that? Why can we be confident today and leave encouraged today that we don't need to worry? Well, let me show you. I want you to draw another circle now, a big circle, an outer circle. You see, this circle represents the Holy Trinity. This is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, these things that are robbing you of your sound mind, these worries, these cares, these concerns and stresses that you have, you may feel like they are out with your control, but let me tell you something, they are not out with God's control. Because he is surrounding you, and he is surrounding your worries. He is surrounding your cares and your fears. And that is why Jesus is able to say to us today that we do not need to worry, because we have him. We have him. That's why in this passage he says, do not worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Look at the birds in the air. Look at how I feed them. Aren't you more valuable than those little birds? Don't worry about what you will wear. Look at how I carpet the fields with flowers. Look at how I care for nature, and you are far more precious. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Just look at how he cared for the Israelites in the desert. They were hungry. In fact, they weren't just hungry. They were starving. They were worried about where their next meal would come from. And there are many people in our world today that are worrying about that. They are worrying about putting food on the table. But let's look at how God dispersed their worries in the wilderness. Exodus 16, verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. We know this story well. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given to you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Manna fell daily for the children in the desert of Israel. God provided that very food to sustain them. And did you notice? They were just to take enough for that day. Enough for that day. If they'd have kept the food for the next day, it would have rotted and gone off. But you see, God provided just exactly what they needed. And Jesus himself reiterates these words in verse 34 of our text for today. Matthew 6, 34 again, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So today, I wonder, are you in need? Is your bank balance looking a little low? Your fridge a little empty? In the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, do not worry. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. Now, he's not saying that food on your table and a roof over your head is not important. He's not belittling your situation or what you're going through right now. In fact, in verse 32, he says, the Father knows that you need them. He knows exactly what you need. He knows your need. And he is saying, I'm not going to abandon you in that need. I will not leave you in that worry. The prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 41, The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. God will not abandon you in your worry. Jesus, in this passage, is saying, turn the time that you would normally spend worrying into time that you spend with me. We come away, as we heard 2 weeks ago, and we spend time in that closet and we pray. I spoke about the importance of prayer. Petition him. Petition him with your concerns and your needs. He desires to meet the needs of his children. He cares for you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, another very well-known verse. His grace is sufficient for your every need, and his power is made perfect in weakness. So what can we take from this passage on worry? Well, Jesus is saying, rather than spending time worrying away every moment of our life, worrying about things that we cannot control, instead, hand it over to me. Hand it over to me, he's saying. You can trust me. Turn your worry into a prayer, as we heard 2 weeks ago. And we heard also that prayer changes us. For we start off feeling frustrated, worried, anxious, fearful. But when we start to pray about it very quickly, the peace of God, we sung about it there, the peace of God will start to descend upon us. Turn your worry into a prayer. Jesus is saying, I have it in hand. So don't worry about what you cannot control anyway. Don't worry about the cares of tomorrow or the future that lies ahead. Live one day at a time, trusting in me. There's a quote that I like from Eleanor Roosevelt. She said this, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift, which is why it's called the present. Today, this day, this is the day that the Lord has given to you. We cannot change the past. We do not know what the future holds. However, we've been given the gift of now. So how are you going to use this precious gift that has been given to you? Are you going to worry it away? Or are you going to trust God? For this is the day that he has made. So let's choose to rejoice in it and trust in him. Do not allow worry and anxiety and fear to control you or hold you captive a moment longer. Don't let life pass you by, church, by worrying. Instead, let's make the most of every opportunity. God is very much presenting an opportunity today. An opportunity today to release those worries and release those fears. Instead of worrying about it, are we going to be a church that prays about it? As Paul encourages us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in the love of Christ. So are you turning your worries over to God? Are you releasing control of that situation that you're not in control of anyway? Let's move on. At the end of this section on worry, Jesus in verse 33 speaks these words. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be given to you as well. You know, this is probably the most enlightening part of this passage. Last week, I spoke about treasures in heaven. Jesus, in this sermon, has been talking about two very different kingdoms with two very different economies and two very different values. To sacrifice, invest in this earthly kingdom is to store up treasures in this world. However, to sacrifice and invest in the kingdom of God, as we heard last week, is to make investments in heaven. And here he is saying, seek my kingdom. Seek his kingdom, not the things of this earth, which we sing will grow strangely dim. What is he doing here? Well, he's very much making a comparison, isn't he, between the old covenant and the new. You see, Jesus, hallelujah, is the new covenant. In this scripture, Jesus is teaching him, teaching them and us about this new kingdom, making a comparison between the earthly living and living for God. This whole teaching has been about right living. It's about making that decision to live for God, to reject the world, to reject earthly ways, and to trust and obey and follow God. It's about kingdom living. This changes everything for us, church. Instead of living for ourselves, trying to do everything on our own, struggling under the weight of worry, we can turn all of that to Jesus. We have Jesus. Did you hear that? You have Jesus. It changes everything. The beauty is that we have this access to God as a child of God, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy with all of our fears, with all of our worries, with all of our rubbish, because he is sovereign. He is in control, and he is a good, good father. Almighty God is offering us that opportunity to release control, to hand it over to him. But we have to come and seek. The word of God says, if you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him. If you're here this morning, if you're here this morning and you did not know that Jesus loved you and died for you, but you've come here today, you've happened upon this place today, and for the first time in your life, you're hearing that God loves you, can I encourage you to seek him? Can I encourage you to press in? Can I encourage you to respond to that invitation to come to him? Because he loves you. You do not have to carry that burden, that worry on your own anymore. Jesus died to take it from you. So release your controls, your worries, and your heart into his mighty hands. So practically, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? It means that you look to God and his kingdom first for everything you need, including your purpose in life, including your daily provision, your work, your employment, your family, your relationships, your marriage, your children, your health, your minds. And you keep God at the center of all of it, not some of it, all of it. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. But the good news is God has already given us everything. Everything that you will ever need. Because he gave us Jesus. He's given you everything. However, on top of that, added unto that, he will give you peace. He will give you friendship, security, rest, joy, contentment. It will all be added unto that. All throughout this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us a different way to live. You've heard it from the pastors and elders for months now. It's kingdom living. It's living for God. And then this passage, Jesus is saying, do not worry. You don't need to live as the world out there, worrying yourself into the ground, because I am with you. I am surrounding you and the things that you care about and even the things that you're worried about. Instead, seek to manifest his kingdom in and through your daily life as you live life according to his ways. And he's taught us beautifully how to live life according to his way. So rather than spending day and night wrestling with our worries, we're going to hand them over to God. So I've just got a wee bit of time left. I'm going to just squeeze one more wee story in, if you'll allow me. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. I don't have time to read it all, but it's about the prophet Elisha or Elisha, however you want to say it. And Elisha would quite often visit a place called Shunem. And when he went there, he would visit a Shunammite woman. That's basically like saying she's a Glaswegian from Glasgow. So he would visit the Shunammite woman and her husband, and he would stay there at their house. And they were so kind and generous to the prophet. And they would put him up there, and they would feed him and look after him during his stay. And one time he was there, and because of the hospitality and the kindness, Elisha spoke to his servant Gehazi, and he said, "What can I do, basically, to repay this woman for all that she's done?" And his servant Gehazi tells him that the wife and the husband have had no child, and the man is in his older years. So the good old prophet prophesies over the situation and over her life and says, next year, you will have had a son. And she gives birth to a son. Let's fast forward the story now. The boy is out playing, as children do, and he gets a headache. He falls to the ground gravely ill. The child is taken to the mother. And as a mother myself, my heart sinks when I read this portion of scripture. She takes the child. She lays him on the bed. She does something very interesting. She leaves the house. She leaves the child. She doesn't stop to have a chat with her husband. She unties her donkey and she makes her way to the prophet. She goes to find the man of God representing God. Now Gehazi sees her coming, the servant sees her coming, and he comes out to meet her, and he can see that she's distressed. Perhaps her eyes are puffy. Perhaps she's been crying. "Are you okay?" he says to her basically. And she bypasses him. "I'm fine." Interesting. Why didn't she tell him? Her son is gravely ill. She bypasses Gehazi, and she goes straight to the prophet. And she bows down at his feet and she holds on to his feet. And she basically is saying, "I'm not leaving here. I'm not leaving." And she tells the prophet what has happened. And the Lord works through his prophet. He responds to this woman's grief. And he makes his way to the woman's house. You see, what stands out to me in this passage is that this woman knew where to take her worry. This woman knew where to take her fear. When she said to Gehazi, "No, I'm fine," was she really fine? No, she wasn't fine. She was far from fine. She was devastated. Her child is gravely ill. But she knew exactly who to take her fear and her worry to. Church, do you know? Do you know who to take your fear and worry to? Jesus is here. Jesus is here today. The band can make their way back. An interesting story. While I was writing this message, while I was penning these exact words about this woman, the phone rang and interrupted my sermon preparation time. It was the school, and they said, "Mrs. Orr, your son has been in an accident a week ago. You'll have to take him to the hospital." Coincidence? I think not. In that moment, I thought, "Lord, I'm worried. I'm worried about my son." But having heard this story, having listened to the words of Jesus as he sat on the mountainside, I knew exactly where to take my worry. Do you know where to take your worry? So it would be wrong of us today not to allow a time of response today. If you've come into church this morning and there's a worry, there is a need on your heart, can I encourage you today to take your worry to God, to take your worry to Jesus? You don't have to leave here today carrying that heavy burden, but you can bring your fears and your worries to Jesus. So as the band lead us in worship now, I would like to invite the prayer ministry team to come forward this morning. If you have come here today and you have a worry, whether it's a worry for yourself, whether it's a worry over your health, over your finances, over your future, can I encourage you today to bring that worry to the altar and allow our prayer ministry team to pray for you, to minister to you today. Can I encourage you, if you're joining us online this morning, you can take part in this also. If God is speaking to your heart today, if you are weighed down by concerns, why don't you stand up in your living room, in your kitchen, wherever you are, open up your hands to God, for he is with you, and release those worries to God. But you have an opportunity today, church, to bring those cares to Jesus. So take your opportunity. Don't leave here, as Peter said at the beginning, the same way you came in. Leave here lighter, knowing that you've left your cares in the hands of God. Come to the altar. We want to pray for you. Amen.